obsessed with all things ovine, there is seriously something about sheep and always something new to learn about keeping, breeding and farming them. Welcome to the Sheep Show podcast. I'm Jill Noble from Holston Valley Farm and Sheep Stud and your host. The Sheep Show podcast exists to help you, no matter where you are in the world, what sheep you breed, what size your flock is. This podcast will help your sheep knowledge and your shepherding confidence grow. And it's a two-way street. I love to hear from you and find out how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Come along on this episode as we explore the amazing world of sheep and sheep farming together.
Imagine a disease in sheep that shows no signs of the disease until your flock is significantly impacted. And imagine a disease where there's no treatment and where the bacteria that causes the disease can be present in your paddocks for years. Welcome to Ovine Yoni's Disease. The reason I'm bringing it up now is because recently in Australia, this disease has been detected in northern New South Wales. Traditionally, it's been seen to be a southern Australian disease. And from my research, also present in Canada as well. Interested in any of the US listeners, have you heard of it, seen it? Or experienced it yourself, potentially on your farm or even with stock that you have purchased as well. But regardless, it's good for us to know about it. Now, what it's like is if you're familiar with Crohn's disease, this is quite controversial, what I'm going to share with you, but I will pop in the show notes some of the research that sort of links the two. And that is that the same bacteria that causes Ovine Yoni's disease in sheep can cause Crohn's disease in humans. So there is some research on this. This is research from 2015. I'll pop the link to it in the show notes. And it was research from Adrian McNeils, Diane Marrakesh, Najar Zayani, and David Graham, and available at Expert Rev Gastroenterol Hepatol. But I'll pop the link in the show notes for you if you're interested. That's the research on Crohn's disease, by the way. But anyway, let's get back to yonis and then hopefully you can make the link and you definitely do a bit of searching if you want yourself. Ovine yonis is said to be an iceberg disease, meaning that when you have it and you see it, it's the tip of the iceberg. For one visibly impacted animal from yonis disease, there are 25 others that are showing no symptoms, no signs, but are carrying the bacteria and shedding the bacteria in their manure. So what is it? What causes it? And what can we do about it? So it's incurable, it's infectious, and it's a wasting disease of sheep. It's caused by the sheep strain of the bacteria. And the bacteria's name is commonly known as MAP, M-A-P, but it is Mycobacterium paratuberculosis. And what that particular bacteria does, it connects to the intestinal wall and it thickens up that wall. And that means that then the nutrients can't be absorbed. So it reduces the absorption of nutrients from the intestine. And that means that your sheep has a loss of condition. So they waste away and die. Some of them have really good appetites and they eat quite a lot, but they can't absorb nutrients. So of course, well, that's kind of what's important when it comes to animals doing very well. And then, of course, the bacteria MAP is passed through the urine of the infected animals, contaminating pasture and even water, and then spreading through to other susceptible sheep. Even if you don't have it on your property, it can actually come onto your property from water runoff from other properties as well. I know that's really dreadful, but sometimes what can actually happen. And then once you have it, it's very, very difficult to eradicate. And then once you find it in your flock and it's diagnosed in your flock, then a significant portion of your flock is already infected. As I mentioned, one infected sheep suggests 25 others that are infected but not showing any signs. And the challenge is that often there are no signs at all for the first few years, so quite a silent disease. But the infected sheep are walking around shedding bacteria in their manure while they still look healthy, and then infecting other sheep. And what you often find is that animals typically start showing symptoms in 2 to 3 year olds, but you can see it in younger animals and you can see it in older animals as well. And scouring, stuff like that may occur, but may not. And if it does, often it's at the very tail end of the sort of severe end of the disease. And then you'll find is that the animals, even though they're eating and drinking, they're weak. They're weak, so then that they're not able to keep up with the flock. You got a tail end, if you like. So particularly when you're moving animals, you might see this sort of lethargy and fatigue in a tail end of your animals. And again, sometimes just by spotting the really skinny sheep, it can be a carrier and can even be infected. How does it come onto your property? Well, I mentioned the fact that it can come from waterways and floodplains. And those of you in Australia probably are quite aware, probably from this particular most recent outbreak, it was a result of floods that happened in Australia about 6 months ago. But typically infected sheep, stray animals, sheep droppings, anything that could seed the particular bacteria on your property. And they can survive many, many months, particularly in shady environments. The bacteria can survive. And the only way to really detect this is through a variety of different options, some of which aren't all that easy, but the main one is a pooled fecal culture, or PFC, to detect OJD. And the idea is, let's say you've got a couple of hundred sheep, you take one single sort of little round sheep ball from each animal and have a culture in a pool, and then that is tested. The pooled fecal culture is able to detect OJD in about 98% of the infected flocks if 2% or more sheep are infected. Now, what does that suggest? Well, it suggests that the test could tell you nothing and you could still have it. Oh, how awful is that? But and typically what happens with this test, you would need to get the vet to come onto your property. They would do the test. And if you've got a smaller flock, then every single adult sheep would be tested on that particular flock. They do monitor it in abattoirs as well. And they particularly look at the intestines and lymph nodes. So that's another really good indication for us, I suppose, when we're sending animals off to an abattoir, they are being inspected for that. So that's really good. And of course, they would notify you if it is a notifiable disease. So they would notify you if they saw that. There is a blood test that detects antibodies in the blood, but it's not very sensitive, and many more sheep must be tested to get similar indication. And again, bear in mind when you vaccinate, which I'm going to come to in a second, antibodies are often produced in the blood as well. So this particular test is less sensitive. And again, you would need to actually get, here in Australia, you'd need to get your district vet to approve the blood test. So again, quite hard and to organize and challenging to organize. So incurable, no treatment, doesn't show signs, and lots of subclinical infection. So this kind of iceberg concept of the disease is not looking good, is it? So prevention really is the key. And that really comes for us on two main strategies. The first one is vaccination. So again, I'm talking about here in Australia, there is a product called Gudare. I'll pop it in the show notes as well, but it's Gudair, and it's produced from Zoetis, and it's registered for use in sheep in Australia. And it's just like any other vaccination, it doesn't prevent the infection entirely, but if OJD was detected in your flock, it would reduce the amount of sheep that would be infected and the amount of sheep that would die. And the good news is it also decreases the amount of bacteria that's passed through the manure. So again, less animals shedding the bacteria. So then the contamination in your pasture is less, and then therefore you have less transmission from animal to animal. Really good news, particularly for our lambs. You know, we here vaccinate all ewe lambs and even older ewes that come onto our property with Gudare. And that again operates on these two ways. So helps if an infection was to break out, and then also reduces the amount of bacteria that passes through. But again, some vaccinated sheep would still develop subclinical OJD shed bacteria without showing any signs. And even some could develop the severe or the clinical OJD and may shed very large quantities of bacteria over pasture and over paddocks before they die too. So it's not good news, is it? It's not good news. So, and the Gudare vaccine is... it's a bit challenging for us to use, for humans, because it's very, very expensive, for one. But obviously, you know, prevention is better than cure. And it needs to be administered ideally within that sort of four-week mark. It is an inactive vaccine, so there's no risk of introduction of any OJD. And you only need 1 mL dose, and there's no booster required and that sort of thing. However, you do have to be quite careful with administering the vaccine to the animals. They can have injection site reaction. So things like abscesses, if the injection is not administered properly. We find that when we restrain our lambs in a lamb marking cradle, we get the best results for reducing infection site reactions. Obviously, if you're doing that for older sheep, you're not going to be able to do that, but really pushing them in really, really tightly in a race, their heads really high, then that can help you to administer the vaccine to the correct area, which is high up on the neck behind their ear. And that can also mean that there's less of those injection site reactions in older sheep as well. But it happens. Also, on the ear tags of our sheep, we have a V added to all of the National Livestock Identification Scheme tags. And that V tells the abattoir, the breeder who buys that particular sheep, whatever it might be, that sheep is also vaccinated for Gudare. So that's something we add to the property code, or in Australia we have a PIC, or property identification code. Then the other challenge with Gudare is that it can result in inflammation in some people and side effects should a human get accidentally self-injected with Gudare. And that is because of the mineral adjuvant in the Gudare, not because of the actual vaccine itself, but the carrier of the Gudare vaccine It is a type of mineral which can cause inflammation. So again, restraining the animals in a lamb marking cradle and really exercising a lot of caution and care with that. You can use another, you know, different applicator as well. You can use that if you want to. And that's, you know, it's a personal choice. There's no obligation for you to use that. So it's not sounding all that crash hot, is it, really, when you think about it? No, no good news so far, Jill. It's very depressing. And okay, what else? What else can we do? Let's look at some other positives here. Watching your pasture, grazing management. Now, hello, we talk about this all the time, don't we? But really, it is a great way when you're spelling your paddocks, when you let your paddocks, particularly in hot, dry weather, or where there is shade in your paddocks, this is where spelling your paddocks for a long time. Like we've got one particular paddock which is very shaded, with, you know, big trees, ferns, that sort of stuff. We would graze that particular paddock maybe 3 times, 4 times a year maximum, and they would only be in there for a week. So when I actually think about it, you know, that's really good. I mean, it's good for the paddock and good for the pasture. And, you know, it does grow pretty good grass. The kangaroos and the deer love it. And it's quite a good habitat for those characters. But I can imagine if we did have an OJD breakout and they were in that pasture and lots of shade, then the bacteria could live for years in that particular paddock. So grazing management, really thinking about particularly around weaning, moving our animals, clean paddocks for those animals, particularly when they start to eat grass a lot, then that is going to be a huge impact for your weaned lambs as well. And of course, they can pick it up then, and then you see those signs at 2 or 3 year old animals. So grazing management, number one. And of course, isn't it? It's such a great strategy for so many things when it comes to managing issues with our sheep. Biosecurity, stray sheep on your property, reducing good fencing, quarantining sheep, introducing sheep, knowing where they've come from, getting in Australia, we have a sheep health declaration. So getting that, checking the tags of your sheep, is there V's on there so that they're also vaccinated for OJD? So things like that can really help. But for a lot of us, it's really about purchasing sheep from low risk farms. And low risk farms are going to be the farms that are vaccinating for OJD. Simples. So how could you assess your risk and see how things are going? Well, be on the lookout. Keep a close eye. Investigate any sheep that are losing condition. See if after a drenching, for example, they're still suffering. Is there anything else that might be causing that? How old are they? And have a number of other control measures in place. So again, think about biosecurity measures, thinking about waterways that come through. Like I know, for example, we border another property with sheep, and I'm pretty sure there's a huge waterway that would run between our two properties, and I'm pretty sure he would not vaccinate for OJD. But I know he operates quite a closed flock, so that's good. Yeah, that's good. So just going back to the Crohn's concept then, and just looking at that particular piece of research, if Crohn's is very similar, it's an inflammation in the bowel that humans get. And MAP has long been considered as the potential cause of Crohn's disease. So obviously the human strain, but we do know that this MAP infection is in ruminant animals, and of course it can infect, or the same bacteria can infect humans as well. I don't know if it's a zoonotic disease. I mean, obviously coming through manure, you would suggest it wouldn't be, because you'd have to like eat the manure. So there's The area of research in Crohn's disease, I would suggest if you're interested, look into it yourself and explore. And as I mentioned, I'll pop this particular one piece of research because it really does a lot of overlapping between MAP strains and how they potentially might cause Crohn's disease and Yoni's disease. So anyway, that's very interesting. And if you're interested, by the way, MAP, what the actual bacteria was first isolated and described by Hendrik Albert Yoni, a German vet, and this was 1895, and he found it in cattle. And then, oh, here we go. Subsequently, it was also in North America and Europe and now worldwide. And pretty chronic in ruminant animals, weight loss, diarrhea, fatal and observed in deer, goat, rabbits, monkeys, chimpanzees. Now we're getting closer to humans, aren't we, when we start talking about chimpanzees? So there you go. So, yeah, not good news in this episode, unfortunately, but hey, we need to know these things, don't we? We need to be aware of the impact. We need to think about where we're buying our sheep from. We need to look at the DAGs. We need to look at quarantine. And at the same time, we have businesses to run too. So we've got to think about all those sorts of elements as well. So, you know, a lot of us bring in sheep all the time, and it's just about trying to reduce and manage that risk. And also knowing that this particular infection can come from more lateral spread, and that would be fence lines, waterways, stray sheep, and of course other animals that might come onto your property as well. So yeah, maybe prevention is better than cure in this particular area.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sheep Show podcast. Please take a moment to rate and review this podcast on your preferred podcast app. Each rating and review helps us reach listeners just like you and help them also grow in their shepherding confidence. And let me know how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email, jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. And until next time, sheep well.